Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Hi, welcome to Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman.
I'm Tracy Apps.
And I'm Amy Masson.
And I'm Milana Tupp.
Our guest today is Milana Kapp. She is a freelance WordPress and PHP developer in Serbia. She lives in the WordPress docs and Slack channel, and she dies for chocolate and bacon, don't we all? Welcome, Milana.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We like to start off each episode asking our guests how they got into WordPress. How did you get started?
Well, I started first with forum script, which was PHP BB, and it was 2.9 at that time. I was admin at Torrent website. So I had to do a few things here and there to tweak, and I didn't even know the language was called PHP. I just went there to template and find things and change, and then it happened and it was awesome. But then in 2009, I was supposed to build a blog, actually just install blog on server for a friend. And I was looking for all different scripts for blog. None of them worked. And I asked another friend, do you know any script for blog that is actually working? And he said, well, you know, you could try WordPress. You know, I've been testing it. And I installed it. And then I found out you can have a website in your local so you don't break things. And I installed it. And there were like 5 to 10 tutorials every day about WordPress. So I built everything in the same installation. I had my little Frankenstein.lock. And from there, it was just everyday WordPress.
I love it, the Frankenstein blog. I Frankensteined in kind of a different way because I was self-taught and came from a design background. So I Frankensteined together development.
I'm still Frankensteining development.
I still like the what you said, the forum script, was that like B2 or was that, or not B2, what was that forum script that you were talking about?
PHP BB.
Yes,
it's it became in 2009, it came from 2.9 to 3.0, and I was blown away, like what was there. So that was my first love, really.
Yeah, I remember because when I first made my first website, you know, and even my first blog, it was before comments were around. So the only way of like, developing community was through those message boards like that. And so I remember I did run, I think I helped with like moderating some boards, but then I tried like installing it myself. And then I just like, I think that was where I started drinking the Kool-Aid. I was like, oh, I can change all the colors. I can change all this stuff. I was just, that was crazy. But I mean, and that is a pretty complex program. How is that shifting from that? Like, did you find some things that were similar between that and WordPress that helped you with that transition? Or was it a completely new thing?
No, it's a completely new thing. I did the most in PHP BB forum. I was creating shortcodes. I love doing that. So I was doing all sorts of things. And then I found out about HTML. And then I found out about CSS. I went the other way around.
So basically, you developed, you designed, and created the shortcode. I mean, that's what you're saying, right?
Now, see, I feel like most people go HTML, CSS, PHP, and you like started on step three and moved back around.
I was actually making, because it was a Torrent forum, and we had Torrent client, and there were, you know, movies and everything, but we also had subtitles for specific languages. And I was making a widget for it to take from database the file and the flag I have no idea. Now, if you tell me I should do that in a completely unknown script, I don't know how would I do that. But I found something similar, and I was copying and pasting and then modifying, and I was like, oh my God, this is this and this is that, and it just happened.
I love that. So, because people always are like, oh, well, how do you teach yourself? Or like, what classes did you take to learn web development? I'm like, I played around. I messed around with things. Like, yeah. I had a Frankenstein website, or maybe I had several of them. But like, seeing and playing around with, like, oh, wait a minute, that does that. Oh, now I can do.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. It's so inspiring. And then when people always say to me, they're like, oh, well, I want to, you know, start what classes, what education, what things. I was like, I hate to say it. I'm like, I kind of feel like just do it. And then you start learning it on a deeper level.
And it's even better when you do it for a paycheck. So it's pressure. You have to do it. That's exactly how I pick my projects. You know, if I don't know how to do it, I will choose that.
Yeah. So what what are you currently working on? Like, what kind of projects are you working on?
Well, in last few years, I'm mostly working with integrating external APIs with WordPress. That's kind of my love, you know, REST API, GraphQL, and all of these together, going through WordPress and going from WordPress. So at the moment, I'm working with one company that is offering managed Kubernetes. And I'm connecting their WordPress with the system to create automatic login on demo and, you know, things like that.
Nice. I've actually had clients ask me, they're like, oh, well, WordPress has been around for quite a while. So is it on its way out? There's all these new technologies and all this stuff. And I'm so excited about things like the REST API. Like, it's like you said, like integrating with, you can make this do anything with anything.
Yeah.
So the possibilities are actually now exponentially larger. So I don't, like, I can just see it shifting and like morphing into something bigger and, you know, more platform driven than just going away. And like, yeah, that sounds like what you're doing.
Yeah. I love those. And I'm a musician, and I love classical musician mixed with all other genders. I'm just like Frankenstein type of people. I've heard people saying, you know, React shouldn't be in WordPress, and WordPress shouldn't be, you know, you put something that shouldn't be there. It should. Everything should be connected, and it should be really agnostic. We should just do stuff that work.
I agree. So for me, it's always like, well, doing user experience, it's about the end goal. It's like, okay, well, the tools that you use to...
Nobody cares about that.
Exactly. I don't care. I just, does this product solve a problem that I have? Mm. Yes? Yeah. No. You say you're a musician. Would you, do you sing? Do you play something?
Well, I played accordion in primary music school and high music school, and piano in high music school and academy. And I still have piano, and it's tuned.
Do you still play?
Yeah, when I have problem with PHP.
See?
yeah, I go there and
I read
people
an article.
People that study music. Oh, sorry, Tracy.
I read an article about like things that, like, especially with a drummer, I'm a drummer, that balances both the both sides of your brain.
Yeah,
more so than anything. I was like, that makes so much sense. I can totally see that.
Well,
people in the arts do better in math and science. It's proven fact.
Yeah, I actually switch my mouse from left to right hand, and I don't change for left to right. You know, it doesn't matter for, and many things are just, it doesn't matter if it's left or right.
I noticed on your website that you're also, in addition to just being a good PHP developer, you like to teach people, which is very special that you have that empathy of the beginner mind to help walk people through step by step. And you have a lot of stuff on building blocks. Tell us about your interest in Gutenberg and block building and teaching people about that.
Well, I still haven't teach anyone about Gutenberg specifically. I just wrote a blog post. But the thing is, when I learn something new, when I started, I would forget what I did done. So now I have a you know, process. When I do something new, I just start writing. I got this error, I fixed it like that, and it's just documentation, and that's why I'm in documentation team at WordPress.org. So when I go through all that, I can actually write down my process of thinking, and I found that people found that helpful, you know, not just telling them you do this like this, but telling them, okay, so you will find this an error, and this is because the system is like that, and it's working like this. And then they learn much more because they understand why things happen.
Yeah, that's so valuable. Every time I read some like documentation that it's like, it, because if you, I feel like if you're further away from the problem, if you're not doing it like as you're, like you're documenting as you're doing things. This is the thing problem I fall into all the time. I'll forget a lot of these little things, and then I just kind of jump seven steps and be like, oh, and then you do this. But like, oh, all these things happened, I totally had forgotten about them. That's really valuable.
Yeah, I have a document. I'm learning React at the moment. And I have a document with little things. It's just one sentence. What PHP developer should know about React, you know, little things. Why?
Where
is this
do you
like
have
that?
This? Because I think I need this in my life.
I can.
We're gonna start
it.
Selling it. We're gonna sell it.
On tattoo it on my arm because.
Well, I think with a lot of documentation, and you know, when I read documentation, a lot of times there is an assumed level of knowledge of the person that's reading it, which isn't always accurate. And I feel like I'm fairly well versed in WordPress stuff, and sometimes I'll get to it and I'll look at it, I'm like, but how do I do this? Like step four, I don't understand. It's not explained. It's just like do step four. Okay, thanks.
The Gutenberg specifically has a pretty outdated documentation, and I've seen all around the internet people are frustrated, but we have now, it's published like last week or this week, something like that. It's very fresh. Marcus did a tutorial on how to use WordPress create block package to create actually block. And it's in tutorials. So this is a very different when you have documentation. Documentation is just documenting the software. It doesn't care what you know and how are you going around documentation. But this is tutorial, and that's where you think about what is previous knowledge, what is the known point, and then just lead from there. So we need a lot of tutorials for Gutenberg, and it's starting. It will be there soon.
Do you think most of the tutorials are they a lot like heavy on the development or on like usage or design, or is it, you know, just starting to come from everywhere? Like what's the audience like? How many tutorials are like coming out? Are they all development focused? Or are they?
Well, these are development focused, but we have to consider people who are PHP developers, very good, or, you know, just starting, but also people who never saw any code and they want to start doing it. People who don't know what is JavaScript and what is React. And what in Gutenberg is JavaScript and what is React and what is just Gutenberg? And why is there so much PHP in Gutenberg? You know, and so many things are left unknown and unexplained. And it's difficult to bridge the PHP and React knowledge. So this is what we are missing. And there is no official documentation on bridging those two. So we are kind of making history here. But that means that we are making mistakes and we don't know yet how to do it. So patience, and you know, we'll get there.
So your first introduction to WordPress was building a blog for your friend. And now you're doing API integrations. Was there any like middle ground, or did you just jump from one straight to the other?
Being a musician, my first websites were actually for musicians. And most of them are the same, you know, just musicians have events and audio and video. And then from there, I was actually constantly learning new things because I get bored very easily. So I don't have permanent clients. I hate that. I hate maintaining projects. So I was learning what's new, what I could do. And I was building these very complex websites that I had no use for because, you know, it was just in my head what I would like to have in one website. So it was, from the professional point of view, it was kind of, you know, websites with a lot of media, and then I switched to, you know, APIs, and because I was very interested in that. But in the middle, what I was doing privately, it was everything. It's just everything.
And did you ever really, I know you were building websites for friends, but did you ever build websites for clients and, you know, get paid, or was that you just went straight into development with companies?
Oh, I was, I actually haven't built any free website for friends. It was all for clients.
Okay.
But they were my friends.
Okay. Some of them. See, I can't get myself to charge my friends any money, so I just make them websites for free. But the nice thing about that is that I don't give them opinions. And, you get what I give you, and you're happy with it. So.
Well, actually, that was kind of my friends helping me to give me money for websites, because at the time when I started, I was single mom, and I'm still single mom, but it was very difficult with that one paycheck. I had mortgage and everything. And in Serbia, it's really difficult for people to live from just, you know, regular paychecks. It was kind of their way to help me. To, you build me a website, I will pay you. And it was cheap, but it was helpful to me. Yeah.
I just think it's so, it's really challenging, I think, for women, we found, to at least, maybe it's just I did make a deliberate effort to find more PHP people, and that's why I picked you and wrote to you, because she's like, she's a real developer and we need more women developers encouraging other women developers, right? Or women to become developers, because, you know, there's a lot of real money in programming and more of the development side of things than, and it would be great for women to have more of that opportunity. So did you, I get the question, I guess, would be, what were your stumbling blocks in learning the PHP? Did it come easy for you? Did you feel like you had to put a lot of effort into it? And as you've moved forward, you know, what has set the expectation for what people really need to put into it to get out of it, what you've gotten out of it?
Well, I would say, you know, if you don't like your brain being burned, then don't start. Because this was, I guess, I'm not gamer, but I guess the gamer feels like that. When I started learning PHP, I never learned it to make money of it. I didn't know there was money in it. It was just interesting to me, and it was like playing games. I was doing, you know, the levels and building cities. I don't know. It was like that to me. And then there was a problem and I couldn't solve it and I couldn't sleep and I was only thinking about it and I hated myself and why did I even start doing this? But then you solve it and you are the best developer in the world. And, you know, it's just a circle and circle. And I guess that's why I always pick the projects where I don't know anything about it. And I never done it. So I can go through that process again. So it's kind of being in front of a problem that is so difficult, you have no idea, you never saw it before, and now you connect things and you solve it after a lot of agony. If you don't like that, don't go there. If you just go there for the money, it will eat you alive. You know, it's not worth it.
That's a really good way of putting that. Because yeah. it's I do remember, and it's that roller coaster of like, I am the dumbest person alive. I am the smartest person alive.
Yeah,
this is amazing. Yeah. But yeah, definitely people thrive from that. That's good advice.
I tell that to my students. They, you know, I have a lot of colleagues and students who say, I want to be like you. And I said, okay, well, go bash your head against a brick wall for like 8 hours. Until you're bloody and exhausted, and then wake up in the morning and do it again, and then you can be like me. It is just a desire to suffer, and enjoying that suffering on some level, because the reward is so great.
I mean, it's just solving task without any other mean, just for the sake of solving it. It doesn't need to go anywhere. It can stay in my local for the rest of my life, but I need to solve it. So if you don't have that, don't do that.
You have to be a monkey.
Yeah.
So I was reading your about you. You didn't always just do development, did you? Like, what was your background before that?
Well, when I finished academy, I was working in opera for 10 years as opera prompter. So that's the little guy that gives the text right before singers should sing it, so they know what to sing. And sometimes I was conducting, sometimes I was singing and showing them where they should go if they forget. And basically, you know, the whole opera by heart.
That's impressive. And that's quite a jump, I feel like, but maybe not.
And I don't think so. I wrote an article for 24 Days in September, that's for PHP community, where I compared music and PHP. So it's in my mind, it's a lot alike. Maybe I'm just weird, but I know there are many musicians doing programming. So it's kind of yet another language that has its own rules and its own objects and arrays and everything, and you just learn how that functions, and it connects different things in your brain, and you get used to it. It's music is actually just a lot of variables that you know convert in time. So I guess it's the same.
That makes a lot. Actually, it makes a lot of sense, because so I studied for several years in engineering, and I finished out with an art degree, literally just an art degree. But it makes perfect sense to me now that, like, I think of, because there's the difference between like art and design and like creating technology like we do, is you're still being creative, but you have to be creative, like creating a system, something that functions. It's like, you know, with music, you are taking these elements and creating something out of it within the constructs of that.
And in time, like loading the page.
So exactly.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. So that makes a lot of sense to me. And I feel like when a lot of people are like, oh, I'm just doing development, I'm just doing this, just doing that. I'm like, but there's so many ways to become a better like developer by like learning an instrument, like doing something, like it sounds completely different, but it actually helps.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Like,
so are you involved in the WordPress community in Serbia?
Yeah, I am. We actually had a sort of meeting yesterday. So in Serbia, community is not that large, but it's large comparing to some other countries, and we are actually very good friends. So everyone from my city, Novi Sad, Belgrade, Niš, Vršac, everywhere where we have meetups, we get together from time to time and have just a Zoom call to talk. And to, so that happened yesterday. And we are actually doing, we organize everything together. So when someone needs, a city needs help for, you know, speakers or something like that, we have a list of people, of us, who have ready talks. So if you don't have a speaker, you don't have a talk, just call me, we will come, and we go and visit each other. So yeah, we have great community in Serbia, and we have a lot of fun.
That's really cool. So one of the things, especially with, I mean, community and doing freelance stuff, I feel like they go hand in hand a lot. Like, yeah. I don't think I'd be able to be doing freelance or, you know, finding clients if it weren't for community. Is there any kind of, you know, if someone's like, oh, I want to basically do my own freelance stuff, I want to do things, what kind of things that you found of like finding clients, you know, working with different platforms or whatever, like what kind of advice or what kind of things have been really helpful for you in your career?
Well, first, when I started working as freelancer, I just got job by people saying to each other, you know, you could take her and she will do the website. And it was horrible. I didn't know how to find my own client. It was unsustainable. And then at one point in 2015, I actually went to company when I switched completely from being Opera prompter to WordPress developer. And I was there for a while. And that company helped me to realize that I am a WordPress developer. So there was this imposter syndrome because I was doing all in my home. And, you know, who knows if it was good or bad. But now I was doing for company, and it seems it worked. So I guess I am WordPress developer. And and then I was asked by recruiter for TopTel platform to come and just try and do that screening that they have for getting into the platform. And I said, okay, well, he promised a lot of things that sounded good. So I went there and I didn't expect anything. But then it started really, you know, I could set my own rate and I choose to work 4 hours a day or 2 hours a day if it's enough. And there are enough clients. So you have a matcher for every client and they ask you, do you want this job? So you don't have to go there and you know, sell yourself, because I don't know, I still don't know how to do that. And then you just accept or not, and that's it, you just code. So how to get clients, I have no idea. But you know, today it's kind of in both ways, it's easier and harder. So it's easier because you don't need to have a portfolio like you did. Who needs portfolio when you're a developer? You have GitHub now, and you can be in open source projects, and then people from other companies see you and they ask you to work for them. And then you say, you know, I'm a freelancer. And then they say, okay, well, we can work at something out. So in that on that side, it's kind of easier, but it's difficult today because there is so much, like where to go, where to start, where to, there's so much to learn. And do I need to learn all of this? I spent 2 months to find out that I don't really need to know that JavaScript framework. It's not needed for my job. So it's difficult for people to start today. But there are a lot of opportunities. You have to look really good, and you can find a lot of things that help freelancers.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of that. What was that platform you said? It's TopTel. TapTel. Like I hadn't heard of that before. Notes. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah. Like it took me several years until I saw, there's a couple other, you know, services like that and platforms like that, that allow you like freelancer to connect freelancers and stuff with client work and stuff. And like, it took me years to find one of those. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, and it's such a great idea. Like,
yeah, it is.
Yeah. How did you have to like pass through like some sort of like a vetting, for that?
Yeah, there is a pretty strict process. It has 4 interviews, and you just have a little chat so they see that you're normal, that you know English, you know. That's kind of main thing. Then you have a series of questions about WordPress, you know, usual stuff that developers should know right away, and it's timing. And then you get to do the live coding while interviewer is watching you, so you get the task and you do that. And after that, you get a little project, so you build a little plugin, and then you have the last interview where you represent your plugin. So it's not that easy, but I'd say it's not, well, I made it the first time. I know people try and then fail and try for a few times. I think what made it easier for me was that I was always following what's in documentation. I was following the best practices and the coding standards and all of that. And then, you know, you if you do the things as they should be done, then there is no problem.
That's really good advice. Where do you find all of your, like, the best practices, documentation and such? Is it all on just WordPress, Make WordPress, or is there anywhere else that you found has been really helpful?
Well, I learned a lot from Justin Tadlock. It was his code, the first one, when I realized I could learn by reading other people's code. It was his code, and I don't know. I do read a lot of core code, you know, just open and read, and I find some great functions that you never use because they were meant to do something, you know, to be helpful, but nobody is talking about that. I don't know. I read. I follow some people who are. Like Juliet for WordPress coding standards and Rian for accessibility. So, you know, you find a few people and they will share what they find. So it kind of gathers all together. And of course, you have to subscribe to a core blog because they always have those developers' notes and they explain every new feature, how you could use it. And
that's really good advice. Place. Really smart. We will have all those in the show notes. Sure. Yep.
I've been taking notes. No, literally, I have a document. I find it interesting with the different people that come on the show is you have the people that are, you know, really into the business management and administration. And then you have the people that want none of that and just let me do my little code in my hole. Yeah. And I think that you maybe fall in that latter category.
Yes. I don't even know. You know, there is a change in law in Serbia, how you can, because Serbia doesn't recognize freelancers yet. So we did some kind of grace stuff and there are halls in law and you filled them, you know. And now everything is changing, but they still don't know everything you can do with freelancers. And there's a lot of talk about that. So there is so many different, there are so many different ways to do freelance work and Serbia doesn't know how to cover it. And when people ask me, so how is your, you know, business system? And I have no idea. You have to ask my accountant because she knows everything. I just code. So yeah, I'm of those people. I don't want to see another contract in my life at all. And I just want to do the code.
So while you're not engaging on that business level. It seems like you're really involved with the broader WordPress community. So not just the local Serbia meetups, but like you're deep into WordPress.org and Slack and the worldwide community. What do you do there? And
I'm in the documentation team. And I didn't really want to go there, but you know, when documentation was on Codex, it was easy to go there. You're logged in, you just edit what you want. And I started doing that in 2011. And it was great. And I found that a few times I needed something, I searched and I found my own code there. And, you know, I realized I was doing this for me, you know, to know how to do it later. And then suddenly it switched to WordPress. And I was like, whoa, how can I work on this now? This is not happening. And then I went to get involved and I found out there are some people behind and there is some Slack channel. Before that, I know there was an IRC channel, and I went there once, and I was like, yeah, they're all good developers. They're doing fine without me. Let's just go away, because I always felt I would, you know, be on their way. And then I found the Slack and all the people there, and I wanted to really learn how to create a proper team. So I went to team review team, and it was so loud. All the people talking all the time, and there was not that much talking about how to build a proper team. There was a lot of talk about licenses and what authors can do and cannot, and where can they put their links. So it was a lot of things that I wasn't interested in. And then I went to the documentation team and there was no one. There were like 3-4 people. And I said, okay, this is my spot. I will be here. And I've been there since then. So now we have a lot more people and we are engaging new people. We are trying new things and it's getting crowded there. So I'm mostly in documentation. I was organizing WordCamp Europe and some local WordCamps, and you know, my baby is Contributor Day in Berlin. That was my thing. And yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I've seen your name floating around a lot.
You're everywhere.
You're everywhere. You're all through Europe. She's big in Europe. And here too. And I think you recently, were you tweeting out about how the documentation team is really looking at what URLs or domains people can link to for external tutorials, because that's how I got famous in a very small way, was had one tutorial and it was linked to on WordPress.org and also in a bunch of forums, but that was my claim to fame, and because no one had written this tutorial.
What
and
was the tutorial on?
How to move WordPress from a subdirectory to the root. Oh, without actually moving WordPress.
Nice.
Just moving the index file. Or I mean, rewording the index file. And that's in the settings. And that was it. It's like a 3-step process. But it, of course, when you have end users doing this, it needs to be like 3,000 words and lots of images. And then I actually have an FAQ post to that, because people needed that. And these two posts get like, you know, 14,000 hits a month and hundreds of comments. And a lot of people have found me just through that post. But I think a lot of my page rank has come from being linked to from a high authority domain like WordPress.org. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have ads on my site. I did for a little bit and I took them off because they were just kind of a pain. But even though it made me money, I was like, well, what am I really doing this for? I worried about then my site, because it is for my freelance work and has multiple purposes, tutorials and stuff, that I would no longer be linked to on WordPress.org. And I was just curious about how that's going down.
Yeah, that is something, you know, it's a hot topic. So I took it on myself, because I'm kind of, you know, don't get too personal, and I can take heated discussions. but that really shouldn't be, people took that tweet wrong. And they kind of jumped to conclusions because we still don't have that policy. We are discussing different ways. And the problem is we don't want to stop people from linking. You know, we want people like you to succeed. But the thing is, we as documentation team, the first thing on our minds is user of that documentation. So all of that started when you were on, when documentation was on Codex, you could just add your link and then moderator will come and remove it if it's not good. And then there were wars and you cannot just, maintain, it's a nightmare. But everybody knew that was maintained by everybody. It was edited by everybody. But now when we moved it to WordPress, we have people with names who are responsible for that. And now we are moving it and we are reading every post and everything, and we are updating screenshots and every information. And we came to links. And now there was some dead link. And someone asked, what do we do? I'll remove that link. And this link is not relevant anymore. So what do we do? Well, remove that link. And then you come, to the situation where you have to have some kind of policy. So we didn't want to remove commercial links. That's not what the point is. The point is to have relevant links. But as I said, in team review team, they have a lot of discussions. Can author have a link in footer, and then when you open customizer, there's another link, and if author has another link somewhere else, it's a problem. So, there's huge discussion over that, so over marketing, and we wanted to not go there at the first place. And to not go there, you need to discuss everything. You need to have a good policy that covers all the possible scenarios. And then you just can apply it. You don't have to explain in every situation why is this like that. And we try to find some kind of, template for what kind of website is allowed. But it's difficult. Before, you had personal blog and you had your product website, but now everything is mixed. So it's not really, the post that actually got heated was, I named it external linking policy, commercial blog, commercial websites. And it was under quotes, because we don't know what is commercial website, and that post was supposed to give us some answers. What is commercial website? And it didn't. It just gave us discussion, should we do this or not? So it wasn't helpful at all. And now we are discussing all kinds of ways how to value link. So we are probably going to go to the road with having the same license, actually compatible with GPL, and then going to content without any promotions. So that's the point, because you have end user documentation where we removed all recommendations for plugins and themes. It doesn't matter if it's in repository or not. We don't want to be the ones who say you should use this or that. We are just documenting the WordPress. And following that, you cannot have a link to a WP beginner website, because they always have something, you can do this with this plugin and you can do it manually. So it's promotion of that plugin. It's a good article, but it's promotion of that plugin. So if we want to be consistent, we have to remove that from everywhere. And it's difficult. We are really trying to do this the best way for everyone. But it doesn't help when people are attacking us that we are trying to do, I don't know what. And I'm really sorry that it went even on WP Tavern, and it was really misunderstood. People didn't read all the posts that were for external linking policy. So this is discussion going on for months, and we are so far away from a resolution. And I would really love people to get involved and give their ideas, not to tell us, should we do this or not? We have to do this. So this is must. But so let's stop discussing should this happen, or let's help each other to come to something that is helpful for end user first, and then helpful for people who are in community, who are doing things for free and giving their knowledge, and let's help them as well. I'm not against that. So that was really one big misunderstanding, but I can live with that.
That makes a lot of sense. And I mean, it would probably help some smaller people who do just want to write tutorials, not have to compete with these big companies that have full staffs to do all their content development. And so long as we know what the guidelines are, we don't have affiliate links on that page or, that kind of thing, then I think people could do that and still get the benefit of the visibility.
Yeah,
from it.
Where
as long
is the
as it's
discussion
clear.
Around this happening?
It's happening in on make.wordpress.org/docs. So there is a blog, and there is a tag external linking policy. So you can follow that tag. I think it has 3 posts so far, and of course in our Slack channel we have meetings on Mondays at 3 p.m. UTC. So we can discuss it there or anytime at all. I live there. So just come and say, I think you should do this, and then we can discuss.
Well, it's been really great talking to you today. Before we go, can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
So in Doc's channel, also I am on Twitter. Wow. Will you just link it? Because it's, if I say it my handle is Dieveloperka, but, it's explained on my website. Why is Dieveloperka? It's kind of developer female in Serbian, but old Serbian, and on my website, developerka.org.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. We would be honored if you subscribe to the show. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Finally, if you want to be on the show or know someone who would, visit our website at womeninwp.com. Until next time.